Good morning and welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here this morning. It is good to be with you. We had a wonderful trip to Chicago to visit our son, and we're back, and I think we're finally rested, and it is good to be with you today. We want to see if there's any announcements that need to be made.
Okay. First off, today is the last day for Ethics International Project, and we didn't hear too good this year. But I know time should talk, and I know he'll bless whatever we get. This is a communication from Jennifer Harbaugh, the one that does the school supply drive. She said, "Thank you, dear Rocky Ridge Church of the Brethren, thank you so much for your donations to the Catoctin Community School Supply Drive. We gave 395 students in the Catoctin Feeder Schools backpacks filled with supplies for the new school year. We couldn't have done it without your support. Thank you again, Jennifer Harbaugh."
Wonderful.
And great. I thank you all.
Thank you. Karen?
Okay, we are... Oh, you want to make the announcement about it?
Okay, I can do it.
Danny?
So, October 9th is the next Bible study, and we have moved it back to 10:30 in the morning.
Okay. 10:30 a.m. Okay. And any other announcements? You'll see the October schedule here on the back of your bulletins as well. If not, let us begin our worship with this prelude. Our call to worship is Psalms 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let us pray. God, our creator and sustainer, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for an opportunity to worship you, Lord. Help us to do that in spirit and truth. Holy Spirit, come and make yourself present. We ask, Lord, that you would be felt in each heart, and that you would direct our minds, and you would teach us and renew our spirits. Lord, increase the love in our hearts for those around us, and help this worship experience, Lord, to change us for the week ahead. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in standing for our hymn number 456?
Jesus, the name that charms our fears.
may be seated. Our call to giving today is 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We are grateful for the gifts that have come into our offering box and for the use of those for the work here at Rocky Ridge. And so let's just pray for God's blessing on those gifts. God, we're mindful that you own everything, that you have given us everything, our next breath, our health, things that we cannot buy come from you, Lord, as well. And we're mindful, Lord, that you've asked us to give back a portion of that which you've given to us. And so bless these gifts, Lord, we pray. Pray that you would help our leaders make wise decisions in the use of those, that they would go far and wide and meet the needs, not just here, but also around the world. And so we ask your blessing, Lord, multiply and supply and meet the needs, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sharing of joys and concerns. We have a joy for a safe trip and a wonderful time with our son. And a chance to see some sights that we might not have seen otherwise. So we are grateful for our trip to Chicago recently. What joys or concerns do you have today? Karen?
Ron and Nancy recovering.
Okay. Yes, Danny?
Prayers for the Peters family. And joy is that Thursday is Kathy and I's anniversary.
Oh, great. Congratulations. And over here, darling.
Yeah, continue Travis and the Baker family. Dave and him traveling back home today.
Travel mercies, okay. Yes, Frank.
Continued prayers for my wife Pat, still struggling with her situation, and all others here within our congregation, as well as anyone, friends and neighbors and so forth. And also we pray for peace over in Israel.
Yes, amen.
And throughout the whole world.
Appreciate you bringing that up for us as well. We need to be mindful of that.
We need to pray for the victims of the hurricane.
Yes.
I know my sister lives in Tennessee and my daughter lives in South Carolina, and they both just, I mean, they were all around them, but they didn't get affected other than the wind and the rain. But Asheville, you can't get in and out of Asheville. It's completely closed.
Yeah. Yep. Some places got 20, 30 inches of rain. Can you imagine that? It's just unbelievable. Yes.
Having mercies for my daughter and her family, and keep Nelson in your prayers. He's still having trouble with his back.
Yes. Okay.
Get back to the doctor. And thanks for all the joys and everything God has given us through the years.
Amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer, and we'll close with the Lord's Prayer then. Lord, we're grateful this morning as we come before your throne of grace, mindful of the many blessings and joys that you have given to us, our family and friends, and the ability to travel, and all the blessings of life, Lord, we experience and enjoy. We're mindful, Lord, that we are very blessed to live here in this country, and many areas are experiencing turmoil and devastation and war. And we just ask, Lord, you would move mightily in bringing about peace. We pray for the end of conflicts in Yugoslavia and in areas like Lebanon, Beirut, and Gaza, and so many different countries, Lord, Myanmar and other areas, Lord, that are experiencing great turmoils. Africa, Lord, would you bring about the right leaders? Pray that you bring about the right policies that would allow people to live in peace. We thank you, Father, for your grace here in this community and in our families that represent this congregation. And so we pray you continue to be with Ron and Nancy and the Peters family and the Baker family. Meet Travis's needs, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for Pat. We just ask you would continue to help her. And we thank you, Lord, for traveling mercies, Lord. Would you keep your angels surrounding those that are traveling? I know there are so many things that could go wrong. And so we just ask, Father, for your grace and being able to enjoy a place and to come back home again safely. We pray, Father, for the recent storm here, and so many people affected down through the South, Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina, North Carolina, even in the Midwest. Lord, we just pray you would continue to meet the needs. Pray that the destruction would be able to be cleaned up and roads open quickly, and we pray, Father, that you would comfort those who have lost loved ones. Meet the needs, Lord, we pray, in an upcoming election. Pray that you would put the right people in office, Lord, and we pray that you give wisdom to those that are making decisions about voting. And we ask, Lord, you would just continue to have your way. We know that we're getting closer to the end of the chapter of the church age, and looking forward to your return. And so, Father, we just pray that you would continue to be in control, as we know that you are, and that everything would be done according to your will. God, there's so many concerns and needs and requests that are on our hearts that we've not spoken, and so we just want to just remember those as well, those that are maybe too hard to put into words, Lord. We lay them at your throne of grace today as well. Meet each one, we pray, as we know that you can, and provide. And so we ask for loved ones, Lord, that have not yet named the name of Christ, Lord, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's too late. And teach us, as Jesus taught his disciples, how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we'll have our second hymn here now. It's number 517. Please join me if you're able.
And griefs to bear.
scripture that I've chosen for today is Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold. They are more pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. I may they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and his meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we pause in your presence to ask that indeed the words of my mouth now and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I was thinking about the song that we sing about God's greatness, how great thou art. As you know, the first verse goes, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Isn't God great? You know, I think we probably think about that maybe when we look into the sky, but the night sky in particular. We can see God's majesty and the glory as the stars shine above us. Living in the country, you have a better chance of seeing those stars at night than we do in the city. But we know that they're there, and God's beauty is all around us, day and night. As a kid on the farm, around 12 or so, we used to get a chance in the summertime to go out over the pasture, over the hill, and we would build a fort. We had a tree house there. Dad had a pile of wood there at the bottom of the tree, and cows would graze in the pasture there, and we would take some handful of nails and go out and build a tree house there. And so one night we decided we were going to sleep out. And of course, there wasn't enough safe spot in the treehouse to sleep up there, so we had to sleep down on the ground, and we did so. And of course, woke the next morning with dew on our faces, but also a little bit startled, because as we woke up, all of a sudden there was a cow standing there looking at us, and they were like, you know, what are you doing in my pasture? What are you doing out here? But we get a chance to see the stars, and that was always a wonderful thing. I also think about camp. When we went to camp, church camp, we would hike up to the orchard, and there you could really get a good glimpse of the night sky. And sometimes we would watch for shooting stars. An amazing display of God's glory, of his power, of his creation. You are familiar with the Hubble telescope. It has given us a new appreciation for the place that we are in our universe. And I don't know if you can see this little diagram, but here's a picture of our universe. And right here is our sun. So you can just kind of get a little bit of a glimpse of how big our universe is, sun being that which generates a lot of light for us. But it is just an amazing thing, and the telescope has given us some incredible images of space and objects that are far off from us. And each of these have like a glow around them, a light around them. God is great. We just cannot fathom his ability and his greatness. He is the creator, the sustainer, and the ruler of the universe. And the heavens do declare his glory. I hope that we take enough time to stop and to think about God's glory. In watching David's Jeremiah here this morning, I just thought, you know, how God's Holy Spirit is so neat. I had picked this message out before we left for Chicago, and it just corresponds real nicely with what he presented here today, talking about God's glory. The shepherd boy David emphasized this in his psalm that he wrote for us. And David spent, I suspect, many nights out in the pasture watching the sheep and watching the stars, being on guard. He had to stay up oftentimes to watch for wolves and things that would attack the sheep and keep the sheep safe. And so I'm sure he was aware of his surroundings and the universe in which we live. You know, I think you have to be pretty foolish or pretty blind to not see the grandeur of it all, to not recognize God's glory, and to be humbled by it. The Bible speaks of times when God's glory was revealed in a very special way. We can see the stars in the sky, but also there were times when God revealed himself even more so to us. In Exodus 24:17, when Moses went up to the mount of the Lord, it said that the sight of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain. Can you imagine seeing the mountain and the top of that mountain being on fire? That was what it was like when God's presence came down on the mountain to the eyes of the children of Israel. And then in Exodus 40:34, it says that the tabernacle, when it was completed, that there a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud of God's presence filled the tabernacle with his holiness, with his glory. Later, when the temple was finished, the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Wouldn't that be an awesome experience to be gathered for worship, and as you are worshiping the Lord, the cloud of God's presence would fill that place, so much so that they couldn't even continue their duties. Well, the shepherds got a chance to see that a little bit, the glory of the Lord, at the time of Jesus' incarnation. It said that the shepherds, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed around about them, and they were sore afraid. What an amazing experience. These were rough men. These were men who were used to being out in the open. And yet something unusual was happening, and they were scared. Also at the time of Stephen's stoning, we're told he, being filled with the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He got a chance to see past eternity into eternity and to see Jesus standing at the right hand of God's throne. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Well, David says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. This is one of my favorite psalms, Psalms 19. And it's a combination of the grandeur of creation as well as the importance of Scripture coming together. Some scholars think that this psalm is a composite of two poems that were put together because the first part uses the word El, for the name of God, and the second part of this psalm uses Yahweh as the name for God. But however it was put together, however David wrote it, I think it makes a skillful inclusion. It reveals the nature of God's glory as well as the exaltation of God's law. And it is, I think, a glorious hymn of praise for us. And so this morning, I'd like for us to think about this psalm here. And I think it's kind of divided into three ways. And the first is the testimony of the heavens, the testimony of the Torah, and the testimony of personal application. So let me just share a little bit on each of those. The testimony of the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. And we know in the heavens there's the sun and the stars, and each of these have their part in making known the mystery of God's glory. In constant revelation by day and by night, the expanse of the heavens reveals the excellence of God's creative work. The sun appears as the greatest member of the heavenly choir, running its course as a witness. And the psalmist here agrees. He regards the sun as an agent of God in the glory, revealing God's glory. We had a unique experience while we were in Chicago. We didn't realize that we timed it for the fall equinox. And so we were there the last day of summer and the first day of fall. And a unique thing happens there, like it does at Stonehenge, and so it's called Chicagohenge. But as the sun is setting, it sets right directly between the skyscrapers. And it does that on several streets because their streets over there run east and west. And so just as the sun is beginning to set, you'll see the sun come right between, and looking down the street several blocks. You can see the skyscrapers on each side and then the sun setting between them. And so it's an awesome experience. Lots of photos that were taken at that moment to capture Chicagohenge. Just an amazing display of God's creative ability in the sun. But we also know that the night is full of God's power and glory as well. And it gives testimony of God's glory. The late pastor of the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, D.J. Kennedy, James Kennedy, was a very powerful preacher. And he wrote a couple of interesting articles, and I brought them along here, The Gospel of the Stars and the Real Meaning of the Zodiac. And he makes the point that God's creative night sky there has been perverted by the enemy, and it has been turned into astrology, which we are not to participate in. But the signs were there from the very beginning. The stars were there at the beginning of Genesis and arranged into constellations. And according to Job, which is one of the oldest books in the Bible, originally set forth the divine plan of salvation in the night sky even before Adam and Eve failed in the garden. God had everything perfect plan in place and in the sky to see his plan even before man needed that plan. So we're not to worship creation itself. We're not to worship the stars, astrology, participate in divination and things like that. But we are to recognize God's wonderful plan of salvation. And his glory is expounded in the heavens as well. Power and variety and the complexity that is seen in the stars, we also see in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews says, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, in upholding all things by the power word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The creation of God, the creation of God speaks without sound or language, but the great picture of his wonder is understood throughout the world. All we have to do is look up, look around, and see the wonder of God's creation around us. God didn't wait for Adam and Eve to sin in order to come up with a plan. He already had that plan in place at the time of creation. And the message of God's love goes forth throughout for all who can see. To see the space and the time, to know the times in which we live, and to look into the heavens, we are without excuse. They declare the glory of God. The glory of God, and all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God are able to respond to God's plan of salvation. He has provided a way of salvation for us. And the scripture says in Romans 1:20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen by being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." People are without excuse. They can't get before God on Judgment Day and say, "Well, I never heard," or "I didn't know." It is clear for everyone to hear and to see and to know the great plan of God. The sun moves across the sky like a bridegroom beaming after his honeymoon. The physical sun goes forth, and its radiant energy sustains all of life on earth, and it affects the entire solar system. You know, the laws of thermodynamics are the most important and universal laws of science, and the sun's heat going forth from its surface provides the basic energy for all life on earth. The first law, the conservation of energy and quantity, and the second law, decay of energy quality, ultimately depend upon the sun's heat for their meaningful existence and operation. What would we do without the sun? Without the physical sun? And what would we do then without the Lord Jesus Christ? And so in similar ways, as nature is dependent upon the sun, we are dependent upon the bright morning star, the Lord Jesus Christ. The vastness of space declares the magnitude of our God, and the energy of 1,000 suns is but a token of his divine energy. Think of the power of our Creator and our God. This is the testimony of the heavens. The sun and the stars and the universe give testimony to the greatness and the glory of God. Well, the second testimony that we have here in this psalm is the testimony of the Torah. And we have here six words that describe the whole of God's inner revelation. God's law, known as the Torah, which are the first five books of the Old Testament, embodies those written laws. We have lists of laws there. It includes all of God's teachings. And David uses adjectives and participial phrases to describe the excellence of God's revelation. And he compares that to gold and to honey. We know honey is sweet, and gold lasts longer than the physical money. But we know that God's word is more precious than gold or honey. And so there are several ways. The different words here are, I think, significant in terms of understanding God's law, God's order of things. And one of the first words he used is the law of the Lord, the law. This is the Torah, the basic principles of God's word. And it is by definition perfect, complete. And the purpose is for converting the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, replacing our natural inclinations and transforming our minds. The second word they use is testimony, a witness, supporting bibliographies. And the purpose here, the definition, is for sure, firm, and established. And Their purpose is for making the simple wise by applying daily principles to living and seeing things from God's way, God's purposes. The third word is statutes. These are mandates or standards, case laws. And the definition here is right. They are right, equitable, and trustworthy. And their purpose is to rejoice the heart by giving practical direction in difficult situations. We have the commandments. These are directives. They reveal concepts. And their definition is that they are pure, clear, and precise. And their purpose then is for enlightening the eyes, for providing fresh insight for living. Fifth, we have fear, the fear of the Lord. This is an awesome respect, continual awareness of God's purposes and power, provide convictions for us. And these are definition clean, holy, pure, and they are for the purpose of enduring forever, extending life and gaining eternal life. And finally, judgments. Judgments are verdicts, consequences and reproofs, and they are true and righteous, or we might say just and sure. And they are to be desired more than gold and honey. They are for the warning of God's servants and for leading to great reward. Well, it's been said that the physical world gives mighty testimony to the existence of God and his power in creation, but only the written word can give testimony to the power of God in salvation. His written revelation is superior to his physical creation, and creation not only to be truly understood as expounded by the scriptures. Many modern evangelicals are making the serious mistake of trying to make scripture conform to current science. It should be the other way around. Scripture does not set the pace. The science that we have now is important, but it is dependent upon Scripture. The words of God's word are more precious than the finest commodity man possesses. And although the wicked may seem to prosper on every hand, we must be assured that keeping the commandments of God's word will provide to our ultimate benefit. This is the testimony of the Torah. The Torah, God's law, is so important that it gives testimony to God's greatness. And then the third is the personal testimony. We see that here with David. David's remarks here in this psalm. The moral teaching of God, which serves as a warning, can lead a person to the desired reward. Meditating upon God's teaching acts as a mirror to make visible the inner man. Therefore, the psalmist closes by requesting the strength to overcome all types of sin and to be found acceptable. As believers, we know that we can never be sinless in this life, but we strive to be holy. We strive to be blameless, as David Jeremiah shared this morning. And David concludes this wonderful psalm, as he does so often, with a prayer. He prays that the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart will be acceptable in God's sight, for God is our strength and our Redeemer. Meditation is a key in learning how to apply these things, learning to how to have a life that is successful. And so let me ask, what do you think about the last 5 minutes of your day, or the first 5 minutes of your new day? When you awake and when you go to sleep, what is on your mind? Meditation is key. To remember a verse, to think about God's word as you're meditating, as you're drifting off to sleep, is a wonderful practice to get into. What we think in our heart is often what we say comes out of our mouth. And so it's so important that we have God's word in our lives. The scriptures tell us to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and teaching and admonition, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. To give God the glory. And that's really what a testimony is. And so if you had an opportunity to share with someone, what would you say? What would be your testimony? It's very important that if you could just get 5 minutes with someone, that you could share very briefly what God means to you, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you, how you came to know him, what it means to be a follower of Christ. If you could share that very quickly in just a few minutes, your testimony cannot be refuted because it is your experience, not just your opinion, but something that you believe, something that's happened to you. A sister, Elizabeth Keller, writes these words in testimony about this scripture, and she's entitled it Making Wise is Simple. So I'd just like to read this paragraph. She says, revives the soul, rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes, says the psalmist. Who knew the law of the Lord could tickle and dazzle and charm our very core? Too often we are limited and confined by the dogma and the duty of the law, yet the psalmist woos us to embrace the delight and desire for which the law is meant to lavish upon us. Dare you open your whole being to receive it? Ever a time when you did the right thing out of obligation and responsibility? Duty calls, we respond. When I came to Bethany as a student, I absolutely did not want to answer the call to set apart ministry. Kicking and screaming, I came purely out of duty, and I knew no joy. Desperation overwhelmed me. Life and study were chaotic and complex, messy and muddled. And so I prayed and I prayed to be freed from this dread. Then one Christmas Eve, something mysterious and miraculous came upon in a midnight clear. The incarnate one knocked on my door, literally, offering wholeness and liberation, and I was transformed. The wise was made simple. In the words of John Paul Lyric, scholar and author, I discovered, quote, simplicity on the other side of complexity. Moving through the tension and turmoil, God's will and way were finally made clear, soul revived, heart rejoicing, eyes enlightened, I knew joy. While God's law is clear and perfect, right and true, we humans are humbled as we stumble and study and strive to know and to feel its fullness. It's only when the mind, heart, and soul meet that we are transformed, not by the dogma and duty of the law, but by its delight and desire. God's word. God's glory. God's glory is seen above, and God's glory is seen within. And so we have in this psalm, we have the testimony of the heavens, we have the testimony of the Torah, and we have the testimony of personal application. Have you ever seen God's glory? Have you ever been in the presence of God's glory? Have you been in a time when it's a high moment of worship, and you just felt so close to God? I wonder if you will join David in declaring the glory of God. The glory of a sunset, the glory of a shooting star, the glory of a night sky full of stars, and the glory of the mountain with a little bit of clouds. There are so many things in this great world that remind us of God's greatness, of his glory. And we should stop and give thanks to recognize, God, you are awesome. God, you are amazing. Your greatness is beyond words. And we recognize your glory. How great you are. how great you are. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, how great thou art. I believe there was a time when I experienced this very early on. I was only 12 or 13. It was the last night of our camp week. We were a bunch of kids gathered around the campfire. And one of the girls was distressed. And it came out to our counselors and to the group that just being 13 or 14 years old, she was pregnant and would have to go home and tell her parents. And as we were dealing with that, it just seemed like in a split second, the glory of God shone around us. It was like the fire exploded, and there was a brilliance of light, and we were in like a cloud, just for a second. And that was such an awesome experience, such an awesome time. We felt God's love, and we were all running around crying and hugging each other, and our counselors were trying to comfort us and explain what happened. And we just felt God's presence in a very unique way. It was an awesome time. We felt loved. We didn't want to go home. We wanted to continue. God's greatness. And in just that split second, he revealed himself to us. You know, brothers and sisters, we're going to have a chance to spend all eternity with God. What an amazing thing it's going to be. We have the glory of God yet to see with our own eyes. To see Christ at the right hand of the Father. To see all of humanity gathered around the throne of God, worshiping the Savior. And the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy." What a wonderful time that's going to be. We look forward to it. And we want as many as others to join us in that. And so don't ever apologize for your faith. Because all of creation is there for anyone to see the greatness of our God. God's glory, above, around, and within. May God add his blessing to our lives as we share that glory with those around us. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, the only wise God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And God, we just want to praise you today that you are the bright morning star that shines your light into our hearts and into our lives as the sun shines by day and the moon and the stars shine by night. And so, Lord, help us to see your glory, not just in creation, but help us to see your glory one day as we gather around your throne. God, thank you for your great plan of salvation seen in the heavens, the constellations, written in your word, in the Torah, and evident on the cross. Lord, grant that our lives would give you honor and glory, much glory, that we would reflect your light to those around us. Help us to be wise and to shine individually. And help us as a church, Lord, to be a bright presence on the ridge, that the brightness of the sun might turn many to righteousness. God, let your glory be seen, not only above and around, but also within. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in standing as we share our closing hymn, number 469.
Our
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.